Right. Good evening.
Good evening.
Amen. All right. That's good. We should probably start there, shouldn't we? Amen. All right. Good. Good. Psalm 86 in your Bible. Psalm 86. Really, it's going to be, we're going to pull kind of our theme for our burden tonight from Psalm 86 and verse number 5. And what I mentioned to you last night is I wanted to spend tonight really coattailing on last night. And what I want to hit on tonight is really finding that release for that conflict in your life. I found it, many times in my own life, I've got this burden that I bear, this thing that I'm working through in my life, and I found myself in a personal conflict. What happens if this person never comes to me and apologizes for the thing that they did wrong? You see, in my mind, I would find myself thinking that, you know, if they would just come and apologize to me, that will set me free. But then I found myself in a personal dilemma when I realized that this person who brought this conflict into my life and this hurt into my life, the realities of them getting to the place where they'd be willing to acknowledge that they needed to forgive me, they would probably die first before that would ever happen. So what I found myself thinking is this how I'm going to live the rest of my life? Bound up in this burden? Or is there release? Is there freedom for me tonight? And I just want to encourage you tonight, there's freedom. And it, maybe it's not a bitterness or a conflict issue for you, but the reality is no matter what you're bearing tonight, no matter what your burden is, there is freedom at the cross. And I want to talk about three things about the cross tonight that I think are going to be absolutely amazing. And I think it'll be a real help and an encouragement to you. But before we do that, Pastor, if it's okay, do you mind if we take a few testimonies?
No.
Okay, great. I just thought, just Burden was sitting up here thinking, maybe if we could just have a handful of testimonies of something God's doing in your heart as we start the service tonight. You want to just speak, you know, what the Lord's done, give glory to the Lord about something God's doing in your life that you think would be an encouragement. If they could just be a short, just a popcorn testimony, if we could say it that way, anything that you feel the Lord wants to do. Brother. All right, you're in Psalm 86, and we're looking at verse number 5. For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive, and plenteous in mercy unto them that call upon thee. Tonight I want to preach really on that burden there, that the Lord is ready to forgive. I find it an amazing concept that when the Lord Jesus died on the cross, he died for the sins of the entire world. But you know, the reality is that not everybody goes into heaven, because not everybody gets that forgiveness from the Lord. But the Lord is ready to forgive everyone that comes to him. Tonight, I want to encourage you about these hurts or these conflicts in your lives. I want to help you to see tonight that you can be ready to forgive that person when they come to you on that day and they walk up to you and or they call you on the phone or they show up in the living room of your house, that you can walk over there in victory, ready to forgive when they say, "Hey, I'm so sorry. I shouldn't have done this." You can be in victory in that moment. And you can be ready to forgive. You can be ready to offer forgiveness. I'm going to explain a few things about what I'm talking about here, so bear with me. Let's pray together to get started. Lord Jesus, I just want to thank you for the many that have come tonight and the many that have come every night and who've been so encouraged and thrilled by the Word of God. Thank you for working in our hearts, delivering us from burdens that we've heard here tonight, maybe things that have happened here in the recent days or things that we've been dealing with for years. Thank you for saving family members and for saving friends that we've invited on Friend Day. And thank you for uniting homes in these days. Lord, thank you for showing us that the burden has already been lifted at Calvary and all we have to do is let you bear that burden. Oh, Lord, thank you for all that you're doing. And I pray tonight would be just a special encouragement to one another as we look at this concept of being ready to forgive. We ask you tonight to just bless the ministry and the opportunities. We pray that grace would abound not just for the preaching of the Word of God tonight, but for the hearing of the Word of God. Lord, would you make a specific application as needed tonight in hearts and lives. And Lord, again, I pray that we'd be bursting with joy as we leave this place tonight. We love you, Lord. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. In Matthew chapter number 18, we're going to bounce around a little bit in the scriptures tonight, But in Matthew chapter number 18, verses 21 and 22, I'll just read you the verses. You can go there if you'd like. I'll read them because I want to explain a few things. And then I want to talk you through kind of where I'm going here tonight so you understand what I'm getting at. It says, Then came Peter to him, and that's to Jesus, and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Till seven times? And Jesus said, saith unto him, I say unto thee, until 70 times seven. Now, we're all good Christians here, and we understand what's happening there. Okay, and what Jesus is saying is he's saying that whenever somebody comes to you and says, hey, I know I've done wrong, I need to get that right, we understand the scriptures, we know what it is. It says that we're supposed to forgive them, right? Okay, now let me ask you this. If somebody has hurt you in your life, they've brought conflict into your life, we talked about last night, and we've allowed this root of bitterness to seep into our life. And we're hurt, and the hurt is genuine, church. And we're just normal people, aren't we? And things hurt. And this person comes back into your life, and that wound is open, and it's wide, and it's bleeding. Or maybe it's festering. And they come into your life, and they say, hey, I'm really sorry for that thing that I did. I'm sorry for causing that wound in your life. If you're not ready to offer forgiveness, you're as a good Christian, this is what you're going to say. And you're in your mind, you're going to hear the verses that we just read. Till 70 times, I need to forgive them. So you swallow, you bite your tongue. I forgive you. And then you walk away. You know what I'm talking about. Did you just offer them forgiveness? Empty words. Empty words. But did you know that you can get to the place in your life and you can be absolutely free from the burden and the hurt in your life, that when that person comes up to you, you can be ready to offer them true forgiveness? Now, you can't give them anything they don't ask for, but you can be ready to give it to them. So that's what I'm talking about here tonight. I'm not talking about giving somebody something they didn't offer or ask for. I'm saying putting yourself in a position to give them for when they ask. Does that make sense? The title of our message tonight is, Are You Ready for This? Are you ready for this? It's one thing to make decisions here tonight, but it's going to be a completely different, just like I mentioned last night, when that person shows up in your life. Are you ready for that moment? Are you ready for this? Okay, good. I don't know that I'm always ready for everything, but I like to think in the Lord I am. Okay, so we're going to talk about that tonight. Now, one other thing that I wanted to talk about before we get into our message is, is the point in which all of these things center around is the Lord. It is the cross. So let's go to one of the first accounts of bitterness in the Bible, and let's look at really the importance of the cross and all of that, okay? You're probably wondering what I'm asking you to do or where I'm asking you to go because I haven't told you that yet. Exodus, chapter number 15. We're going to look at verses 23, 24, and 25. This is the children of Israel. And it says, And when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore, the name of it was called Marah. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, What shall we drink? And he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast it into the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them. Okay? So here we have really, if you're looking for a recipe for how to come to a place where you can be delivered from bitterness, there's the statute, there's the ordinance. Are you ready? Did you see what happened? We have the bitter waters of life that we've come up to as we're walking the Christian life. We step up to the bitter waters and we say, what are we going to do with this situation? And we pray unto the Lord. And the Lord gave him a cross. And the cross made the bitter water sweet. That's an amazing thought, isn't it? You're wondering what to do with this burden tonight. Maybe last night God intervened in your life and He showed you deliverance, and you, as we heard just the testimony before, you released that person out of your life. But maybe tonight you're still working through some issues. There's still some things in your life and you're not sure what to do. And let me encourage you tonight that the bitter waters of your life can be made sweet at the cross. And I don't want to, that's not just a cliche tonight, because oftentimes I wonder, you know, preachers say that. They say, hey, come to the cross, or, you know, we can make those bitter waters sweet, and all kinds of things can happen. And my wonder is, okay, so when I get to the cross, what does that mean? What are you talking about? What do you mean the cross makes the bitter waters sweet? Help me out, preacher. Help me out. There's just come to the cross and get at the feet of Jesus, and the cross will make the bitter waters sweet. But how? What do I do when I get to the cross? And I want to talk to you about that tonight. How the cross intersects with our life and puts us in a position to be ready to forgive. I want to go back to my definition of bitterness for those who maybe didn't get it all last night, or to refresh those who are new with us tonight. Definition of bitterness is that negative emotion called bitterness is the violation of one's personal justice system, which is spawned by a refusal to forgive and a demand that justice be carried out. Thus, bitterness is rooted in unresolved internal or personal conflict. So that's our definition that we were working off of last night. It's good to just to bring that back, because we're going to take that violation of our personal justice system to the cross tonight. And I want you to see as a Christian how God can deal with those bitternesses and those angers and those bitter waters of life. Being ready to forgive is a reckoning process. And tonight I want you to reckon really four simple truths. Are you ready to go with me tonight to four simple truths? Four simple things that we need to reckon, to calculate to be true, things that we need to credit to our own account, that we need to be illumined to the realities of these things in our life that will prepare the way for us to be ready to forgive. The reckoning process, by the way, is based on facts. That word there is an accounting term, reckon, okay? And it's based on facts. You can't reckon nothing. So tonight we're going to reckon truth, the facts of the Word of God. Let's go back over to Romans chapter 6. We won't spend a ton of time there, but I just want to, again, go back to that verse number 7 that we talked about the other night, because that's where it all begins. Again, we're going back to that position of in Christ. And I want to just pause there for a moment. I know we talked about it a little bit more on Monday, and I don't want to spend a ton of time there. But I want you to see a few things, because I think it'll be helpful as we continue our conversation tonight and this message tonight, that being ready to forgive reckons, number one, our position in Christ. In Christ. Chapter 6 and verse number 7, it says, "He that is dead is freed from sin." You say, well, Pastor Weber, that's a great verse, and we talked all about it on Monday night, but what does that have to do with me tonight? Well, bitterness is a sin, isn't it? Okay, so I'm glad that at least a couple of people are still awake. And, you know, the reality is that if bitterness is a sin, we could really say he that is dead is freed from bitterness. Now pause for a moment and let that sink in for a second. You as a Christian, as you sit here tonight, because of the work that Christ did in the cross and you're in Him, the reality is that as you are in Him tonight, in your position in Him, and what a wonderful and glorious position it is, friend, you are free already from bitterness. Let's keep reading. Verse number 8 says, "Now he that is dead with Christ, now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise," Paul says, "reckon ye yourselves also to be dead indeed unto sin, unto bitterness, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord." Isn't that wonderful? This is glorious, church. Think about it for a second. You're sitting back and you're letting this burden bear down on you. And like it was mentioned here in the testimonies, you've got this rock that you're hanging on to. And all you have to do is let it go, because you don't have to hang on to that thing anymore. When Jesus cried out, "It is finished," that means he cut you loose from that, all that stuff. Amen. This is good stuff here. And then he goes on, he says, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal bodies that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but under grace. You are under the supernatural enablement of Jesus Christ. You have a glorious position tonight in Christ, friend. Free from those things. But the problem is that we yield ourselves to these things. We think, man, all I got to do is hang on to this rock of my life, and I'm just going to just drag it around, and you know, I can't swim even without the rock, and I still got this thing, and I'm drowning. And I'm just going to drag it around, and maybe I'll give it a name. We'll call it Fred. No Fred's here tonight, is there? Sorry. Okay. Yeah, I'll call it Fred, and you know, maybe, oh man, maybe we got to do something with this thing. So we'll dress it up, and we'll put padding on it, and maybe we'll sit on it for a little bit, or you know, throw some straps on it, and then we'll carry it around. And hey, did you see my burden? Whoa, isn't this thing awesome? What a tragedy. Christian, you got to understand that putting yourself in a position to forgive, I don't have to hang on to this thing. Hey, kick that thing out of your life. What am I doing? I don't have to bear that burden anymore. I'm free. And you have to get to the position in your life where you reckon this to be true. You have to credit this account to your account that this is who you are in Christ. It says that Jesus died unto sin once. He only died on one cross, you know, one time. And in that moment, he cut sin's cords in half. It no longer has dominion over you. But you can go over and pick it up anytime you want. You can carry it around all you want. Man, look at this thing. Isn't this cool? It's not cool. It's not fun, isn't it? And many of us can sit out here tonight and we can attest to the realities that we got things in our life and we're carrying these things around for years and years and years. And we think, man, this is a great workout system. Man, this is great. You know, I'm becoming a strong Christian because I'm bearing this burden. Woo, look at me. I'm pretty spiritual. No, that's not how it works. I'm giving up on diets, by the way. I'm giving up on workout programs and all that stuff. Me and my wife tried a diet here not too long ago, the shake thing. You know, the shake for lunch. And we got up here. I was doing it pretty well. My wife, you know, she struggled with the shake. Sorry, honey, but that's the reality of it all. And I was trying to set the good example. I thought they were pretty good. An avocado, bananas, all kinds of really yucky stuff. And you put it in one, and you blend it up. And then you put chocolate or something in it. And that's, woo! I got up here, you know what I found out? Those things were supposed to be taking weight off. I got up here, I was like 5 pounds heavier. I was like, that's it. That's it, we're done. That's not working out for me. Hey, Christian, carrying that burden around ain't working out for you. It's not helping your Christian life at all. Okay? It's not strengthening your spiritual muscles. It's not making you look cool. In fact, if anything, it's destroying your life. Cut loose from bitterness tonight. Because this is your position. It's already done. Those cords don't hold you any longer. You're already free. Husband, you can love your wife unconditionally, just like Christ loved the church. Did you know that? You can do it. I'm not talking about your strength tonight. I'm talking about in Christ. He never gives you a command that you cannot obey. Hey, wives, you can submit to your husbands and you can reverence them all the rest of your life. You can do it! Because there's grace there for that ability. God can do it through you. Isn't that a wonderful position tonight? Isn't this amazing? Sin cannot hold on to you because of your position, and you gotta understand that being ready to forgive reckons this position. I am not controlled. I am not under the control. This sin and this issue in my life does not have control over me anymore because I'm in Christ. He's my master. He's the one that has control of my life. Oh, what a wonderful place to be, like the maniac of Gadara. He no longer was in a position where those demons had control over him. He looked to Jesus and said, what do you want me to do? In fact, I'm coming with you. I've got a new master now. I'm serving Jesus. And I just wish, and my prayer is that tonight that you would stop serving that sin. You would stop being a slave to that issue in your life, and you would just turn to your master, Jesus Christ, and let him show you the glorious realities that sin does not have dominion over you. I don't know how else to say it tonight. You're a Christian, and you're already free. You're in Christ. You are dead and free. If you do not reckon your position in Christ, then you're not. Then you are allowing that sin of bitterness to have control over you. However, you can, by faith, claim your union with Christ, and that sin cannot have control over you because in Christ you died to sin. Number two, being ready to forgive reckons your position in Christ. Number two, being ready to forgive reckons your protection is from God. We're going to turn over a few pages. Romans 8:28. Romans 8:28 says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. Do you believe that verse there in your Bible? It's in there, okay? Now, the reality is you know this and I know this, in the midst of that burden that you're bearing, in the midst of that situation, and as you're thinking about that thing that's happened to you in your life, you really want to sometimes live your life in such a way as you wonder if God all of a sudden fell off the throne and He is no longer God. Because what we don't automatically assume when we get into those scenarios, and it's just because of who we are, I'm with you on this, is that there's no way this can work out for good. Mr. Weber, you don't understand my scenario. You don't know what it's like to walk in my shoes. You haven't been there. You weren't there. You don't know what I'm experiencing. You don't know the trials that we're dealing with. You're right, I don't. I have no idea. But I know when I read my Bible, that's what the Bible says. It says that all things, not just some, not just other people's, but your situation. Your situation. You see, you've got to look at that situation and say, I don't understand this. Because everything in me wants to run, wants to accuse, wants to hate, wants to get angry. But I've got to filter this situation right through this verse to have God's perspective. And God says that we know even this situation will work together for good. Do you believe that tonight? I just wonder here tonight, because the reality is the Bible tells us in Genesis 18:25, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Shall he not do right? And you say, but Pastor Weber, you don't understand. Does God allow sin into my life? Is God the orchestrator of sin? No. But does he allow things into our life that hurt? Ask Job. Yes. He allows things into our life. He allows Satan to do things, and he allows these things to happen. Hey, did not Joseph have some issues in his life? You've heard of the life of Joseph, haven't you? He goes to his brothers and says, hey, by the way, I'm going to rule over you. Had a dream. Huh? Okay, fine. You don't want to hear it. I'll go talk to mom and dad. Hey, mom and dad, by the way, I had a dream, and I'm going to rule over you too. Well, that goes over real well. If you remember, down in the pit, from the pit, sold into slavery, from slavery to the prison. And what happened after prison? Because that was kind of funny. What happened after prison? Pharaoh's house. Oh, that's right. Second in command to the most powerful empire in the world. Well, it's kind of funny. I mean, how could God take Joseph's life and the tragedy of the hatred, and they wanted to kill him, and they really were going to leave him for dead, and they sold him into slavery, and then he was accused by Potiphar's wife, and then he was in prison, and really he should have just been dead. But all along it says that because he was responding correctly throughout that scenario, God was with him. God can be with you, friend, in this trial and through this situation as you work through this issue in your life. God can be with you if you're responding correctly, if you're filtering it through the Word of God, through truth. You have to reckon truth tonight. Don't look at experience, because experience will change. Your emotions will dip up and down, but the Word of God endureth forever. I love it. Will not God protect His own? Aren't you His children tonight? Psalm 91 and verse number 4. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. What a wonderful thought. What a wonderful truth here tonight. And let me encourage you tonight, as we look at the life of Job, and as we have already just thought about that for just a second, let us not charge God foolishly in these days. Let's not charge Him foolishly. You don't understand what's going on in my life, God. Why did you allow this? I don't want this. I don't want this. And I'm not saying it's easy, friend, but I can't imagine what it's like to be Job, to have your whole family, to be killed, and then you lose all your crops, and then you got a wife who's really not very supportive, curse God and die. I mean, really, that's got to be kind of a struggle, and can you blame her? She just lost all her children. And then you got Job, and he's just saying, man, I just want to, oh God, what is going on here? And he says, I'm not going to charge God foolishly. I'm not going to put myself in a position where I'm going to look at God and tell Him that He's doing things wrong, because shall not the judge of all the earth do right? And is He not still God? And can He not take that situation no matter what it is? And can He not work it together for good? Can He? Yes, He can. You see, our experience tells us, no, you can't filter it through that paradigm. If you filter it through that paradigm, you're going to mess up your life. And I'm saying, wait a second, no. If you filter it through your own eyes, you'll mess it up. But if you filter it through the truths of the Word of God, everything will come out just right. See, because the promise there isn't to the people, isn't to just anyone. It says to those that love God and who are called according to His purpose. You see, the only people that can appreciate God's hand in a great trial are the people who are in the process of that loving God. I don't know about you, but, I just wonder how God can take a broken home, a deadbeat dad, how He can take a single mom with only a high school education to raise up 5 kids and working full time and going to school full time and then take one of those kids who was so bitter and angry in life and got involved with drugs and fighting and all kinds of other things in his life. And I just wonder how God can take that great tragedy and work it together for good. I just wonder how He could do that. I wonder what He could do with a person like that. What do you think He could do with a person like that? Do you think He could ever make him a preacher? I think so. I know so. Because I'm standing before you tonight. You see, God took all this tragedy in my life, and today I am telling you about the burdens that I bear and the things that I went through tonight, and God is using it in your life. And He is working all those trials for good. I'll be honest with you, church. And the reality is you know it just as well as I do. There was no way I looked at my past and thought, there is no way God could use my past to help anybody. What a tragedy, the things that I went through. There's nothing good to talk about back there. We're talking about it tonight. And I've heard testimony after testimony, whether it was just now or after the services, about people who are saying, man, God is delivering me. Thank you for what, God's put on your heart. Hey, listen, friends, God is working those things together for your good. Woo! That's exciting. Can we do that? Okay, good. Amen. All right, good. God is working all things together for good. And when you get in that position where you understand who you are in Christ, that you're dead to the sin of bitterness, and that God can take this situation as hard as it is. And I'm not telling you it's a snap of the finger and all of a sudden it makes all the sense in the world. Sometimes you got to work through things and you got to, just really sit down with God. And you got to say, God, how does this work together for good? I'm telling you, if you call into Him, He'll answer you and He will help you. He'll never leave you and He'll never forsake you. Isn't that wonderful? Man, this is great stuff to be a Christian. I feel bad for people who out there don't know Jesus as their Savior. I feel bad for those people because they carry these burdens, then they crush them. They don't know what to do with them. We've got God. They don't have anybody. And here we are tonight, a Christian, reckoning our position and not allowing the sin of bitterness to have dominion over us. And we're taking tonight that our protection is from God, and we're allowing Him to cover us with His wing, and we're trusting Him that He is never going to leave us, and He's never going to forsake us, even in the greatest trials that we face. And I'm just saying, man, that's shouting ground. Maybe not here, but out of my house we do. Philippians chapter number 2, as we go to number 3. Being ready to forgive reckons our position in Christ. Being ready to forgive reckons our position. Our protection is from God. And number 3, being ready to forgive reckons your purpose in life. Philippians chapter number 2. This is a wonderful passage. We're just going to take a few minutes and look at this. This is a message all in of itself. And if any of the preacher boys want to write my notes down and use them for yourself, that's fine. I don't mind that at all. Just when you preach your message, just make sure you tell everybody it's mine. That's good. Look at verse number 3, chapter 2, Philippians. Let nothing be done through strife and vainglory. Do you see that? He starts off there. Don't do anything because you're bitter and angry. Okay? But in loneliness of mind, let each esteem other better than himself. Whoa. Let that sink in for a minute. When you got this conflict that comes into your life and your natural tendency is to react, you should take a step back and see how you can minister. See what you can do, not to lift up self or protect self, but see what you can do to help this situation get resolved. Wow. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Well, there's a great Christian trait, isn't there? We almost lost that in the church. I'm burdened for you, friend. Can I come over and mow your lawn? Or hey, can I come over and just pray with you? You know, can we go out? Can we hang out? Can we go soul winning together? I need to sacrifice some things here because I'm burdened for you, and I'm excited for what God can do in your life, and I'm not worried about things that are happening over here in my place. I'm worried about how I can be a blessing to you. Well, that's a wonderful place to be when you got a church that's filled with that excitement. Verse number 5, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made of himself no reputation, but took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God hath highly exalted him, giving him a name which is above every name. And we'll stop there for sake of time, because I want to touch on a few things here. Again, he says, you know, do not do anything for the betterment of self. Okay, and what we're doing now is we're understanding our position in Christ. We're understanding that God is working this situation all together for good, but now we're understanding our purpose in life. And let me just ask you here today, if I were to ask you, are you considering your life to be a replication of Christ's life? And that what I mean is that Christ came not to be ministered unto, but to minister. Would you say that that's your purpose here? Is that the purpose of your life? Would you say, I'm here tonight to serve the Lord Jesus. I'm here to be a servant. Anyone like that here tonight who would say that? Go ahead, you can lift your hands. I see a handful. I see a lot of hands. And I'm glad you raised your hands tonight, because that should be our heart. The Lord Jesus didn't come to be ministered unto. He came to minister. He came to give his life a ransom for many. He came to pour out his life. He didn't come for the betterment of self. He came for the betterment of others. And that's the whole point there. Okay? He's saying in verse number 4, don't worry and don't care more about yourself than you do about others. Care more about others than you do about yourself. I have this policy, and I'm going to mention it here, but it's off limits after I tell you this, because I'm telling it to you. People who don't know my policy, this is for them. Okay? So you can't tell people this. But if people come up to me and say, hey, Brother Weber, I really like that tie, you know what I do? I take it off and give it to them. See, now you can't ask me that because I just told everybody, okay? But I had a missionary come up to me, his wife, and they were sitting there, and they're looking at one of my ties, and they're like, wow, that would go with every one of our outfits. And I'm thinking, man, that's an awesome opportunity to minister. I took it off, and I gave them, and my pocket's square. Wow. But that's an opportunity of ministry. You know what? Who cares about a tie? God can give me a million ties if he wants to. I think my ties are great. I think they're awesome. Why? Because they all come from God. I like my shoes and my ties. I like my car. I like my wife and my kids. And I'm excited. And you know what I want to do? I had to make sure I get those in there, honey. Sorry. It's all about service, folks. It's not about me having all these great things. Although I am blessed beyond belief with the family that God has given me and the ministry he's put me into. But these things aren't for the satisfaction of self. These things are for the folks that we come to be a part of this ministry. We're here tonight for you guys. We're not here for ourselves. We didn't come here because, hey, we're looking for a paycheck. Although we are a poor pastor ministry down, you know, evangelists make all the money. It's the pastors who don't make any money. And that's why we travel a little bit. No. Why are you here? You know, if it was, all it was a ticket to heaven, church, then you'd have been gone long ago. God's got you here to minister. Not to worry about you, but to worry about the people around you. How are you benefiting the people around you? How are you ministering to the people around you? You Pastor Weber, you don't understand. I don't lead Sunday school class. I don't do this. I don't got that. I've got no opportunity to minister. That's not true. You've got at least a handful of people on either side of you. You got brothers and sisters. You got a family. You've got an awesome ministry. You influence people no matter what you do. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. So he sets forth for us a reality that your purpose of your life is not for you. It's for the people around you. And this is how you are to think when you walk through this life. It says here in verse number 7 that he made of himself no reputation. He made of himself no reputation. He emptied himself of all his rights. He wasn't looking for the betterment of self. He was, I don't have a reputation. I'm not looking to fulfill any obligations to people. I'm just going to be me. And what we should be thinking is, I don't need to look cool in front of this person or look cool in front of that person. I have no rights here. I have no responsibilities. I have no obligations. I have no reputation because I am in Christ. I'm accepted in him, and that's all I need. And then it says he took upon him a form of a servant. And I find this one of the most amazing things in the concept of what Christ did. Now listen, church, you have to get this down. He emptied himself of all his own rights and he took upon himself the form of a servant. You know what a servant is? Somebody who has no rights. And what happened was, this is the way we're to think. We're not looking out for self, we're looking out for others, and we have no rights. Now remember, bitterness, that emotion, that really strong emotion, is a violation of our personal justice system, which cries out, I have rights, and you're violating my rights. But when Jesus emptied himself of his reputation, he said, I don't have any rights either. That's why he could sit on the cross and be violated by his creation without claiming justice. You see, he humbled himself and he was humbled to the point of death. Let me ask you a question tonight, church. And I think it's worthy of considering here tonight because I think it'll be helpful for all of us to let this sink in. If you consider yourself to be a servant, then why are you offended when somebody treats you like one? What is your purpose here? What is your purpose tonight? Why are we offended when people treat us like a person with no rights if we say we're a person who has no rights? really, what right do we have to claim justice? Are you tracking with me here tonight? See, because if we see our position as in Christ, somebody who is dead to bitterness, and we understand that our position in being ready to forgive is puts us in a position to be protected by God, and we find our purpose in life to be a servant, our purpose in this life should never be for our own reputation, because a servant has no rights. And his only burden and desire is to serve his master. And if Jesus suffered, we will too. Listen, church, I think many people in our lives miss the opportunity to see a true living expression of the life of Jesus because we don't reckon ourselves to be servants in a time of conflict. They never get the chance to see Jesus. I'll guarantee you that we can ask around and there will be people that you know and I know that have gone through great tragedy in their life. And when they reckoned themselves to be a servant, they saw Jesus in it all. And they knew that God was going to work it all together for good. And it wasn't about them, it was about God. You know and I know that that is a shining example of what all of us want. We can think about it right now, and it's usually those little old ladies who are prayer warriors and those old men who are senior saints, and it's just we don't have a lot of those today. And they're those people that, you know, they just like, oh man, God did this in this situation, and God did that in this situation, and man, it was all about God, and we saw God's hand in it. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? But yet we find our place in a position so often that we don't reckon our purpose in life, that we're here to minister, not to be ministered unto. It's not about my rights. It's not about my reputation. It's about being a servant. And I should never be offended when somebody treats me like a servant, because I can just turn to my master and be like, are you going to let him get away with that? I can't do anything. When I got saved, I released my right to claim justice. How about you? We've looked at the reckoning, the position, the protection, the purpose. Now let us look at one more thing as we reckon here tonight, that we need to reckon tonight before we end. And we need to be ready to forgive. We need to reckon that the hindrance to this forgiveness process and this process of releasing somebody is our desire for justice and not the offense of the offender. See, the hindrance in this whole process is not them, it's me. You see, it was at the cross where Jesus left justice to the just one. We run around claiming justice, and we run around putting expectations out of people, and we run around and we make people, they have to do this before this can happen, and I'm never going to let this thing go until this person comes and does this or repays that or does this, and we become the hindrance to the whole process, because there's no expression of the life of God through us. There's no expression of a servant Christ who came to minister to a lost and dying world. All there is an expression of my reputation and what I want to be satisfied to make this thing go away. And it was at the cross where we see Jesus, and especially here in Philippians 2, I think it is a great expression of the reality that Jesus left justice to the just one who will always do right. Again, when Jesus was on that cross and having been afflicted with the most severe kinds of injustice, physical abuse, mental and emotional abuse, rejection by family, friends, his creation. It says they wagged their heads. Get off the cross. If you're the Son of God, get off the cross. Mocking him, scoffing. And again, he's on the cross and he's up there, he's dying and he's sitting there and he's leaving justice to the just one, because he understands that when the eyes of these lost people are open to the reality of what happened, great forgiveness can come in. And he's sitting up there and he's looking to heaven for the just one to do exactly what he knows needs to be right, because he understands his position and he understands that his protection comes from above. Jesus could have got off at any point in time. The angels would have come at any at the nearest word, at the thought of the word, to come and help. They would have been there. But he didn't. And he looks to heaven and he cries out, "Father, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And we cry, run around and we cry and we cry and we cry. Justice! Justice! I deserve it! Look at me! Justice! Justice! I deserve it! Look at me! And all I'm saying here tonight is, friend, that's the hindrance to this whole process. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ. Humble yourself tonight. Allow Christ to humble you with the reality that He is going to work all things together for good. And if you really call yourself a servant, you have no right to claim justice tonight. And that in this, in your position as a Christian in Christ, you are free already. And you can embrace that and you can live free. Isn't it amazing that we can live free tonight in Christ? Free. We don't have to carry that rock around with us anymore. We can, like our friend said, we can leave him at the altar tonight. Who wants to do that tonight? Who wants to come and claim their position at the altar tonight and leave that rock there? Who wants to do that? Who wants to come up here and leave it here and say, you know what, God's gonna work this whole situation together for good. He's going to take this thing that happened in my past or the situation that happened here recent in my life or the things that we've gone through in our family, and He's going to work it all together for good. And you know what? Our family's a servant. We're a servant family, and we've got no reputation. The only thing we need to be doing is glorifying God with our lives. It's not about me anymore. It's about Jesus. And I'm telling you tonight, friend, that when that person comes to your life and that and looking to resolve that scenario, it is only at that point in time when you've come to the place where you've let go that when they step back into your life, you can offer them what you didn't have before, a heart of true forgiveness. Because your trust is in God and you're not looking to them to fulfill any expectation. So let me ask you, what are you fighting for tonight? Are you fighting for God's glory in your life, or are you fighting for personal justice? You've got to be honest before the Lord. What's happening here tonight? Are you dead? Are you dead and free from the sin of bitterness? Are you claiming your position as in Christ tonight, blood-bought Christian, and that you're free from that sin? And maybe tonight it's not bitterness, friend. Maybe it's something else that you're carrying around in your life. That application of that truth carries on to everything. You may have some addiction issue in your life. Again, I don't know what's happening here tonight, but you may have some addiction issue in your life that you're just not ready to let go of because you just can't see your way through. Listen, friend, there's forgiveness at the cross, but there's release in Jesus. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Don't you want to be free tonight? Don't you want to walk out free? Are you trusting that God is going to protect you? Or we just want to fight for ourselves. No, I'm going to protect self. I'm going to do this for self. And nobody can protect me except for God. Nobody can do it. I've got to do it. I've got to work it out. No. God's going to protect you. God's going to provide for you. And those who don't know that, God will help you to learn that. I'm glad the Lord has taught me that at a young Christian age, if we could say it that way. Early on when we got married, the Lord taught me a lot about His provision of finances. I don't worry about money. I don't have to worry about it. Why? Because God never runs out of it. His bank account's always full. And all I have to do is, Lord, You know my needs. You provide when I need it. And you know what? He does. Every time. Protection too, friend. Every time. When the clouds are the darkest, the sun shines the brightest. Are you a servant tonight? Are you a servant tonight? Are you the reason that there's no restoration? What a wonderful thing it is tonight to be a Christian. Free. God's protecting hand on your life. A servant. It's almost completely opposite to the way that the world thinks of it. And yet, in God's economy, it's the most amazing position in the world. Pastor Weber, what's the secret of your life? How do you get to see God in so many amazing ways? How do you have so many amazing stories? Why do you have such an amazing testimony? I'm dead and free. God protects me every inch of the way. I'm a servant tonight. And whatever God asks me to do, I do it. You want to know? There it is. It's just that simple. And listen, friend, you can walk out of here tonight in the same place I am, in the same place many of us are, free. Isn't it exciting? Let's pray. Lord, I just pray for my friends tonight, and I thank you that we've had this opportunity to gather together over these past few days. And Lord, I know that you're doing something amazing here tonight. And I know that you've been working because we've seen your hand in many situations. And that, Lord, there's still something that you're working through here tonight in our friends' lives, and maybe one of our visitors or many of our visitors that are here with us tonight. And I don't know who's here, but you do. And I just pray that you would work in this invitation time as we have opportunity to respond to the Word of God. We're here tonight, and you would say, Pastor Weber, this message was for me. I heard you last night, but I just wasn't ready. But tonight the Lord showed me the pathway to walk in this day, and I'm ready tonight to let go of that burden that I bear. Pastor Weber, would you just pray with me tonight that I would go through with God to the extent that He wants me to deal with the situation, that I would reckon my position, and all of those things that you talked about tonight. By the uplifted hand, you'd say, pray for me. I'm seeing hands all over the place. Anyone else? Yes, put those down. Anyone else here tonight? You'd say, I'm a dad. I'm burdened for my family. And I don't want to let this generational sin go into my children. And I've made some mistakes, but by God's grace, we're going to see some things change. By the uplifted hand, you'd say, Pastor Weber, pray for me. I see that hand. Yes, I see that hand. You may put those down. I see that hand. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. You may put that down. Anyone else? Many, many hands here tonight. You say, Pastor Weber, I'm not really tracking with you on everything here tonight, but I did come tonight because I needed to hear about the freedom that I have in Christ from something else. There's something else in my life. Maybe it's not the sin of bitterness, but maybe it's another issue and that God spoke to you about. And you'd say, Pastor Weber, God dealt with me about that thing here tonight, and I am free, and I'm taking my position. Is anyone here tonight? You'd pray for me, Pastor Weber. Yes, I see many, many hands. You may put those down. Anyone else? You put those down. Yes. Yes. Yes, amen. Praise the Lord. This is the Christian life, the freedom we have. Yes, God's working in my life. You may put those down. Young people on my left, you may put that down. You maybe came tonight and you're a visitor. It's the first message you've ever heard like this. But tonight, God brought you here to talk to you about maybe a bitterness issue that's in the way of you and your relationship with Jesus Christ. There may be a hurt or a tragedy in your life, and you just can't figure out how a good and loving God could ever allow that into your life. And you've got no time for God, and you never did. And it's because of this thing. But God brought you here tonight to tell you that there's victory for you. And that God's using that trial and that tragedy in your life to bring you to Himself because He wants to show you the love that He has for you. Jesus died for you on the cross, friend. And He wants you to know for sure tonight that you're on your way to heaven. Is there anybody with us tonight that would say, Pastor Weber, I'm not for sure. I'm on my way to heaven. I don't know what it's like to be a Christian. I'm just here tonight, and God's speaking to me, and I'm not 100% sure I'm on my way to heaven, but would you pray for me? God's doing something in my heart. God's speaking to me. Anybody like that here tonight? Okay. Why don't we stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, stand to our feet here tonight, and we'll have a time of invitation. Let me encourage you tonight. Pastor Roberts will be here at the front, and...